This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Mary Louise Kelly.
And I'm Renee Montaigne. Al-Qaeda has a new online magazine. It's called Inspire, produced by Al-Qaeda's arm in Yemen. And ever since it appeared on the web several weeks ago, it's been the subject of intense scrutiny by the U.S. intelligence community. As NPR's Dina Temple-Raston reports, the magazine doesn't seem to be gathering much traction with the very audience it's supposed to attract.
Law enforcement officials say they can't remember when a media offering from Al-Qaeda has ever been the subject of so much discussion. What makes this magazine different is how American it seems. It's written in colloquial English. It has jazzy headlines and articles that make it seem almost mainstream, if it wasn't about terrorism. "Make a bomb in the kitchen of your mom," reads one headline. "Unsure what to pack when you leave for jihad? The magazine has a list for you." But Inspire doesn't offer much that is new to anyone who tracks jihadi publications.
Frankly, I don't understand all the fuss about this particular one.
Thomas Hegghammer is a senior fellow at the Norwegian Defense Research Establishment, a Norwegian think tank.
There's really nothing new about an English language magazine like this. We've seen them since the early 90s.
Just who's behind the magazine has been the subject of enormous speculation. Initially, U.S. intelligence thought it was the brainchild of radical cleric Anwar al-Awlaki. He was born in the U.S. and has been connected to both the shootings at Fort Hood and the attempted bombing of a U.S. airliner on Christmas Day. Now intelligence sources tell NPR they think the magazine is the handiwork of another American, a young man named Samir Khan. He was born in Saudi Arabia but grew up in Queens, New York. And for years, he was best known in jihadi circles for running a pro-Al-Qaeda blog out of his house in Charlotte, North Carolina. He surfaced in Yemen last year, where he was studying Arabic. Then he disappeared. Officials think he joined Al-Qaeda's arm there and has produced and edited Inspire magazine for them. That would explain the colloquial English. Apparently, though, not many people online are reading it.
I'm Dr. Akhil Awan. I'm an associate professor in international terrorism at Royal Holloway University of London.
As part of his terrorism research, Dr. Awan trolls jihadi websites. And he says for all the drama surrounding Inspire, he hasn't seen the magazine resonating with young wannabe jihadists.
It hasn't made that much of an impact online, for example, within more mainstream jihadist sites.
So an online magazine that has obsessed the U.S. intelligence community, a publication that was deemed so important it was shown to the president as part of a national security briefing, is apparently falling flat with the people it is meant to inspire, at least by one measure of popularity. Akhil Awan of the University of London says that in many ways, Al-Qaeda's online media strategy has become a victim of its own success. According to him, with so many chat rooms and publications out there,
what actually happens is the message itself becomes much weaker and much more diffuse.
He believes Inspire got lost in the noise. But U.S. law enforcement has been worried about the Internet and its ability to radicalize young Americans for some time. And what's still not clear is whether a glossy online magazine might break through. Again, Thomas Hegghammer.
If you're a new recruit today and you go on the forums, it's bewildering, I think. There's so much out there, and deciding who to listen to and what to which sides to go, you know, can be difficult, I think.
When Al-Qaeda in Yemen first produced Inspire magazine, the file was corrupted. Most readers could only read the table of contents and one or two articles. There were rumors that the magazine contained a virus. It took Al-Qaeda in the Arabian Peninsula almost 2 weeks to get another full copy of the magazine up on the web. Participants in jihadi chat rooms still don't seem very interested, but that doesn't necessarily mean the magazine won't eventually find an audience. Dina Temple-Raston, NPR News, New York.